Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week we are continuing our discussion of what it means to have the life of God in us. If you are born again, you, your inner man, your innermost being, your spirit, have been united to God through Jesus, and you now partake of, have in you, the uncreated eternal life in God. If you're born again, there's something in you that wasn't in you before. It's the uncreated eternal life of God, and that life has produced tremendous transformation in you. That life is in you now. God, by his life, is in you to empower you to do, to be and to do all that he intends for you to be and to do in this life. He's in you by his life to enable you to walk even as Jesus walked in this life. We've been talking about how do we experience that. We're really talking about fruit, outward evidence of the life within. I almost hesitate to use the word fruit because that almost is a cliche word. By cliche word, I mean it's one that we've heard so much, it just has no real meaning. But we're supposed to have outward evidence of the life within. We're supposed to have fruit show up. Fruit is outward evidence of the life within. A tomato vine produces tomatoes on its branches because of the life that's in the vine flowing into the branch, producing the fruit. That's how it's supposed to work for us. Our part is to know what's in us because we're born of God, and to believe what's in us because we're born of God. And then because we believe it, we expect it, and God, by his life in us, empowers us, enables us, strengthens us to be and to do all that he intends for us to be and to do. Now, I want to finish this week with another point. I just want to restate what I've already said, but say it in a different way. God, by his life, his uncreated eternal life, is in all true Christians. And he now wants to work in us and through us to show himself to the world around us. Let me read. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, you've heard that passage before. This passage is often used to say that Christians shouldn't date unbelievers, and you shouldn't marry an unbeliever. Don't be unequally yoked. Now, I absolutely believe that. I wouldn't argue that point at all. But that's a very limited understanding of what is conveyed here. We shouldn't be yoked with unbelievers. But I don't really believe that's the idea that Paul was going for here, although he would be in agreement with it. Don't get me wrong. That's just a very limited understanding of what Paul was attempting to convey here. From this passage, we see what we were before the entrance of eternal life and what we are now because we're alive with the life of God. That's one of the points that we're making in this series. If you're born of God, eternal life has come into you and there's been a tremendous transformation. You are not what you were. You were dead, now you're alive. You were unholy, now you're holy. You were unrighteous, now you're righteous. You were a child of the devil, now you're a child of God. You were a partaker of the nature of the devil and an object of God's wrath. You are now a partaker of the nature of God. We've been through all this in the past couple weeks in great detail. it's sort of like Paul sums it up here. If we were sitting in the same room together and I was in front of a chalkboard, I could actually make a chart up here. I used to teach school. That's why I say chalkboard. I could put one category, it says unbelievers, and the other category, I could say believers. In the unbelievers category, I could say before union with Christ. And in the believers category, I could say after union with Christ. And then he goes on to list see, the reason believers and unbelievers shouldn't yoke up together is because they're completely different. That's the point. And that's the point for dating and marriage. You're completely different. It's not going to work. You're completely different. But the point for our discussion is this. We get a list of what we were before we were born again, what we were by nature, what we were in our innermost being before we were born again. And then we get a list of what we are by nature, what we are in our innermost being because we're born again, because we're born of God. I want to elaborate on this to help you see this tremendous transformation that has taken place in you. I don't care how you look. I don't care how you feel. I don't even care how you act at this moment. I'm not trying to encourage you to act in ungodly ways. That's not my point. I'm saying we don't live by what we see and feel. Our view of reality has to come from what God says. I know I'm strong, not because I feel strong. In fact, I don't always feel strong. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed, but I'm strong because the greater one is in me. The condition of my spirit is the basis of my identity. My evidence of who I am is not how I feel. My evidence of what I am is not how I feel or how I look. My evidence of who I am and what I am is the Word of God, which tells me the way things really are because I'm in union with Almighty God. Now, according to this list, unbelievers, this is what we were. We were unrighteous. We were darkness. We were Belial. That's a name for the devil. We were children of or in union with the devil. We were infidels, that means unbelievers. We were the dwelling place of idols or false gods because we had the nature of the devil in us. That's what we were. But as believers, we are righteous. We are light. God is light and God's in us. Ephesians chapter 5, I don't have time to deal with it this week, but it says you are light in the Lord. We are righteous. We are light. Believers here are called Christ. Verse 15, it says, and what agreement has Christ with Belial? Now, we don't become Christ. We're in union with Christ. We are the body of Christ. Jesus referred to his body as me in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, when he confronted Paul on the road to Damascus and said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, Saul, who became Paul, never touched Jesus, never saw him, as far as we know, in his earth ministry. Never saw him till that moment. Saul was persecuting his followers, the men and women in union with Christ. Jesus called it me. Even if you don't see yourself the way you really are, God does. He sees the union. He sees his life in you because he put it there. Believers are called righteousness, and not just called, this is what we are. See, we were unrighteousness, darkness, infidels, children of the devil, the dwelling place of Satan, by nature, objects of wrath. That's what we were. But now we are righteousness, light, Christ, or his body through union with him. We are believers. We are the dwelling place of God. Now, notice verse 16, where God says, it's actually a quote from an Old Testament passage, as God has said, I will dwell in them. He ends it up saying, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Let me read a couple of translations. It says, for as far as us, we are an inner sanctuary of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them, in fellowship with them, as in a home, and will live my life in and through them. That's Weiss translation. William says, I will live in them and walk in them. God says, I'll dwell in people. When men believe on me, on him, God comes to dwell in us. Dwell means inhabit. It's actually the same word used in Romans 8:11, speaking of God in us by his Spirit to give life to our mortal bodies. See, that's the point. He comes to dwell in us to give life first to our spirit so he can actually, let me say it this way. He comes to dwell in us by his life in our spirit so that his life can flow out and affect our mind, our emotions, and our bodies. God wants to walk in us. To walk means to walk about in. It comes from a word that means to walk at large, especially as proof our ability. The point of this passage is there's been tremendous transformation in us because God dwells in us, and he wants to show himself strong in us and through us by his life. Our part in this is to know it and to believe it. Let me read two verses. This is 1 John 4:17. Philip's translation. So our love for him grows more and more, filling us with complete confidence for the day when he shall judge men. Listen to this. For we realize that our life in this world is actually his life lived in us. And then 2 Corinthians 5:15 out of Knox translation. Christ died for us all, so that being alive should no longer mean living with our own life, but with his life who died for us and has risen again. We haven't said all we need to say, but consider these few points as we close. Through the new birth, we receive the life of God, the life Jesus lived by when he was on this earth. We are alive with, living by, the life of God in his spirit, in our spirit. Whatever is in that life is in us, because that life is in us. The condition of our spirit is the basis of our identity. For most of us, if we feel something and see something, then it's so to us. We live begging God to be our life, hoping he'll be our life and our strength and our help. But our evidence that he is or isn't is how we feel. If we feel it, then we know it. If we don't feel it, we don't know it. We have to get to the point where if God says it's so, it's so. We need to recognize that there's more to reality than what we see and feel. There's always two sources of information available to us, what we see and feel and what God says about the way things really are. You must become persuaded that God is in you by his life to be and to do all you need to walk as Jesus walked. Your view of reality must change. Take time to think about all this. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see things the way they really are according to God, to see yourself the way you truly are according to God, and he'll do it. More next week. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jameson, at 4720 Jameson. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.